everyone. My name is Demeek Starler. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a third year here, and I play wide receiver.
I'm Donovan Johnson, and I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, third year, and I play safety. Thank you for tuning in. We want to take some more time to discuss the experience from a player's perspective and, you know, memories we had from our teammates. The fans asked us how we found out what happened. So I found out what happened from just going through my night routine. Just finished, like just started to lay down and turn my fan on, and I usually play music before I go to sleep. And before I started playing music, my phone just kept vibrating. And everybody was asking me, was I okay? And I was just confused, like, yeah, I'm good. And earlier, before I started my routine, I saw that, they were, like, shooting on grounds. And usually when we see that, we would have thought, like, oh, it's those guys with the paintballs again. Just laughed it off and put it to the side. And this time it wasn't. So everybody was like, teammates said, excuse me, just got shot. And things like that, you know, tragic events happen. And we was just so, like, in shock because, like, we always get emails like this, and it was like, there's no way it's us this time, you know. And then just the names that just people were saying, and sometimes the name was wrong, you know, everybody didn't know. And then a lot of the, like, the students, the non-athletes were just, like, throwing random names in there, and then some of the guys wasn't answering their phones, so it was kind of scary that night. And just to think about, like, we just kept getting emails and kept getting emails that wasn't really helpful. And the guys was really worried. And that night was really, like, scary for a lot of people, including myself, because UVA is so big. And it's, like, 3 in the morning. And we still getting the same emails to stay in closed doors. And the guy hasn't been found yet. And it says, like, he's targeting athletes. So it just wasn't, it wasn't really comforting with the emails we was getting. So that's just how I felt about it.
Yeah, I found out. I actually had to wake up to it because I was asleep. During the time, so I woke up with a lot of, like, notifications with phone calls and text messages saying, am I okay, asking, like, what's going on. So, like, for the first day for me, it was just, like, a lot of shock and confusion, like, not really knowing what's going on. Like, we're forced to be stuck in the house because he was still on the loose, and really shocked because, like Don said, like, the information is not really helping. Like, we don't really know what's true and what's not. So, basically, it was just like a lot of confusion and just, like, being shocked, like, not being able to process a lot of things because we're not really, like, knowing what's going on. So, just a lot of shock and fear.
And just the first day, so the next 24 hours of it, it was just crazy because, like, you know, like, we were supposed to, like, practice the next morning. So when we scheduled a team meeting, and the guy was just caught, and we like, had a team meeting. Then a lot of the guys, like, including myself, was just not comfortable with going to the facilities, and especially when a guy has been there before. So it was just – we was just thinking, like, you know, we don't feel comfortable in that space yet. Well, I'm speaking for myself that I didn't feel comfortable in that space yet. And so I just didn't go to that team meeting. And I just started, like, my grieving process, really, because I was just thinking, like, there's no way that I can be there right now. And it was really stressful, was really down, and didn't want to believe it. So, I try not to believe it as much as I can. And then, the news kind of confirmed it. And then, just when the news confirmed it, it was like, oh my God, like, this real. So, we didn't know about one of the guys. And, his dad was, looking for him. And he said he haven't heard from him. And then, when he found out, we found out through his dad on social media that his son was dead, and we didn't know, because I remember just texting all of the teammates that I could think of, making sure they was all right. And when some people, certain people wasn't responding, I was just saying, okay, hopefully these guys sleep, because it was pretty late. And just finding out one of the guys through social media was really, it really like, it hurt me so bad just to see that, and see that his dad was looking for him, and he in hopes to find him, and hopes he was sleeping as well, and then he figured out that he's no longer with us. So it was really sad to find that out.
Yeah, so after everything happened, they asked, did you want to be around a team or take time to process alone? And like he said, when everything was fresh and when it was first going on, at first, I didn't really want to be with the team. Like it was, it kind of seemed like, a place that, was kind of sad. Eventually, being together helped, because we're all grieving. And we're all like dealing with the same situation, but just taking time to process everything alone, because like we were still kind of in shock, like not really knowing what's going on, not really knowing like why this happening, or like what caused it, or anything of that sort. So just taking time alone was what I feel like I needed the most. But then like eventually being around the team helped that, because yeah, it was just like a brotherhood, and we lost some of our brothers. So just like being grateful that the people are here, are still here, being grateful that we still have chance to make memories with our brothers, and just keeping that in mind.
Same but different. I was against being around the team, because I've been through events like this before, and I just didn't want to see my teammates down. I didn't want to see people upset and really stressed about it, because I know a lot of the guys been through this maybe one time. This is probably the hardest thing that a lot of people will ever face in their lives. So I wanted to be strong for them. So I was like, there's no way I can be around the team right now, because I don't want to add to, the guys feeling down, depressed, and crying and things like that. So I just try to stay away from it. And everybody grieved different. So I felt like the more I stay away, the better. So I don't have a breakdown and be part of, just being part of everybody being down. Because when I come around, I just feel like I can bring everybody up and, try to bring light to everybody's day. So I felt like that was my job in this process, and what we're going through right now. So that's why I couldn't be around. And after maybe it was like day four, day five, I just started to be around the team more, and started to hang more. And just because I felt like a lot of the guys are starting to everybody was still down, but they, starting to accept what was going on, and they starting to try to understand everything and stuff like that.
Okay, and the last question the fans had for was, how did the team support each other through the week? You can answer that one.
The team just try to do a lot of things together. We probably ate together. Well, we saw each other twice a day, so we have a team meeting, and then later we'll do something as a team, which was I don't know, I didn't go, so it was like games, movies, and things like that. And I know towards the end of the week, like maybe Thursday, it was like a position, like position groups will go by their coaches and stuff like that, and just spend time together. I know as a DB group, we went by our coach, and because we usually do every Thursday, so we didn't want to make this Thursday different. They just want to have each other, and you know, it's more faces than usual that showed up this time, just because of circumstances, and everybody just wanted to be around each other. So, and it was a good time, and you know, we made light of a dark moment. So I think it was real cool, and we went to a team movie, and you know, everybody enjoyed it and had a good time.
All right, so our relationships with Lavelle, Dev, and D. So we can both start off with Lavelle.
So my main memory with Lavelle was I remember first year he just knew he was going to the NFL, and he just had this ambition to him, and he was really like he was convinced, and he made sure everybody knew that he was going to the league, and he put the work in to get to where he wanted to go, and then he got hurt. But to take you back, one of the main memories I do have was first year, we was watching a fight, and Nate Robinson just got knocked out, and he looked at me, he was like, "I'll do you that," and I was sitting down, he was already standing up, and then I was like, "Nah, I ain't going like that," and both of us stood up, looked each other eye to, well, not eye to eye, because he's 6'7", I'm 6'2". So I was looking up at him, he was looking down at me. And then he stepped back. He looked me up and down, he started doing push-ups. And then I was confused. I'm like, "Bro, what you doing? You just act like you want to fight." And then I got down with him and started doing push-ups, and we was locking eyes. And then 25 push-ups later, maybe 30, 40 push-ups later, his body started shaking, my body started shaking, and I'm like, "Nah, bro, I ain't finna stop." And we just keep looking each other in the eye, and all everybody, it was in dorms at the time, and everybody that was in dorms was started to crowd us and make a lot of noise and see who fold first and who stopped first. So we just kept doing push-ups, looking each other in the eye, and finally he tapped out, and I kept going, and everybody was booing him and cheering me. So it was just so funny because he just was always a competitor, whatever he do. So it was just cool to, you know, be a part of and be around.
Me and Vel first year were roommates, and we was the only two receivers that had came in our class, so we was pretty close in that aspect. And well, I'll say like my favorite memories. I'll say it's too much to just put in one, but just every day and like team meetings or like every pre-game meals before the game, just like having a conversations about like argument, random arguments about random things. Like one time we had an argument that animals were smarter than humans. There'll be certain arguments, certain situations that like he'll know is not like correct or like right in an aspect, but if he believes it, then I mean like there's nothing we could do about it. So like we had an argument probably for hours about like how a lion is smarter than a human. And it's just like just little stuff like that that you start to appreciate more, that you really didn't like appreciate at first. Or like you just thought it was just life. It was just day to day at first. So just like starting to appreciate it more, like the little petty arguments about small stuff like that. So,
I remember another memory with him was he would talk about like how a lot of girls like him and stuff like that. And I used to tell him, "Bro, it's not that you're cute, it's you 6'7". They can't see nobody else over you." So, and he'd get mad, stuff like that. And I'll be like, bro, he'll be like, you 6'2", what about you? And I'll just be like, bro, I'm just a nice guy. I'm smooth. And he'll just laugh like, bro, it's not, I'm 6'7". Just say I'm cute, bro. And we'll argue about stuff like that.
So, yeah, another one of probably the funniest and the craziest moment when our first year we all had COVID, and it was during the year that COVID had shut everything down. So we all had to me, Lavelle, and like eight other freshmen was forced to be in the COVID dorms. And during the COVID dorms, it was like a snowstorm, like a real big snowstorm. So like just we all being in there, just a whole bunch of athletes being away from football. So everything just built up, and we had like a big snowstorm, and it ended up being Vail versus everyone else. So me and Vail being roommates, like we had like the biggest kind of like rivalry with each other during that time, and we took the snow from outside, and we had like a big snow fight, and then it ended up getting thrown in beds, getting thrown in showers while people are taking showers in the bathroom. So just like childish stuff like that was probably the funniest memory that
To talk about Deshaun, he was a lot. He was a different person. Like, he could rap, he could draw, he could do whatever. But we used to laugh at each other a whole lot, and I was just thinking about this memory I have on my phone. It just popped up. It was me, Deshaun, Meek, and Stu. We was in the car, and they put on a beat, and those Meek and Deshaun just started rapping. Probably 4 or 5 beats later, they still rapping and freestyling and stuff like that. So it was stuff like that, countless memories that like that you just can't get back. And I remember the time where, like, we would just look at each other and just laugh for no reason. So he'll be on one end of the team meeting, and I'm on the other end. And you know how you just start to look around and you just see somebody staring at you. You feel somebody staring at you, and you look up, and it'll be him. And then we'll lock eyes and we'll just start laughing and stuff like that. And just things like that. He was just cool. He cared for everybody, and he really wasn't the type to get mad, but it was funny when he did because it just never seemed like he was serious. So it's like when somebody that's always laughing and clowning, when they're serious, you can never tell because you don't know if they're trying to prank you or fake being mad or he actually mad. So it was just one time we was on the field. And this one time we was on the field, and he was gonna start on punt return, and I was giving him the business really, but coach was like I was losing, so coach told me I was losing because I ended up on the ground, so coach was like, Don, he killing you, right? And he was like, this is supposed to be our starter, you're not giving him a look. And the next play, I gave him a look and I just kept pushing him after the play. And then he turned around and he just gave me this look like, what's up? And then I stepped to him like, we could do it. And then he was like, all right. And then we had one more play and both of us were just going at it and he kind of slung me to the ground. And I was like, all right, bro, we're going to see about that later. And then we went in the locker room and both of us mad. And we walk up to each other. And then he just start laughing, and I'm mad though. And then I start laughing like, bruh, like, he just not somebody you could ever be mad with. He just funny like, and stuff like that. And then one time, recently, it was we just played last well, 2 weeks ago, and and a Georgia Tech game. So I'll talk about the Georgia Tech game first. So we both start on kick return. And we blocking for our returner, who decided to fumble the ball, but that's not what we're talking about. So we get our blocks, and actually that time our returner, the ball went over his head, and coach says we still got to make our blocks. So I make my block, and then Deshaun made his block, and I threw my man into him, and he catched my man, and he slapped him on the ground. And then Coach E look at him, he like, bro, you done. You always want to fight, you done. And then he like, bro, what I do? He was just trying to figure out like what happened. And I was like, I don't know. I think he thought you was fighting. So he like, bro, I wasn't fighting this time. And that was just funny because the last game that we played in, it was kick return again. I actually didn't play. I didn't dress this game for injuries, but he was out there, and he was getting a little aggressive with a guy. He kind of pushed him at the end. And then we had another kick return, and he got aggressive with the same guy must have wanted his lick back. So he, like, pushed him after the play, and Deshaun kind of grabbed him, and he just, like, he really, like, manhandled him. He grabbed him, pulled him closer, and, like, threw him back. And the guy body just jacked back, and he fell. And then Coach E was like, get him out of there, get him out of there. And then he was like, bro, what I do? And then, like, he was like, he asked me, like, why he took me out? I'm like, bro, you was fighting. And then it was funny because he just was like, you're right, I was. And that was funny to me because it was like, he know when he, like, doing something wrong. Like, he just knew, like, I guess it didn't process for him in that moment because he was just so locked in to try to do his job. And he just thought about, like, you know what? You're right. You're right. And then one time, I spoke on it at the memorial. This the time that, you know, we was on a bus. Usually we on a bus, and the buses to go, like, travel, stuff like that. And then one time we just on a bus. Usually we sit by each other. Like, not purposely, but it's like usually we always like close to each other. I don't think like the coaches knew that we was the ones like making everybody laugh on the bus. So one time we was going, like, we left the airport from Georgia Tech, and we was headed to Martin Luther King Memorial and where he lived, and that was like a 30-minute, 45-minute drive, and that whole time, it was just me and him cracking jokes in the back of the bus and, like, had everybody laughing the whole time. So, like, it was like a 45-minute stand-up comedy show back there. And, like, even it was so funny. It was, like, even, like, coaches in the front of the bus was laughing, too. So we were just going at it for a long time. And honestly, at some point, I was thinking, like, you know what? These guys laughing too loud. I think we're getting closer to what we're supposed to be. And then it just kept going. And then we was just like, you know what? We hot, so we're going to keep going, keep making everybody laugh. And then it got to a point where it was just me. And then he just started to do this funny laugh that'll make everybody laugh. And when he started to do that, everybody was just laughing like 10 minutes straight, just for no reason, just hearing his laugh. And it just made everybody laugh. And then another time, so we had lost the game, and we had just landed back in Charlottesville, and we got on the bus, and we was headed back to the facilities. And we was just telling, I told him a joke of how I don't know why, but usually when you first wake up or you're about to go to sleep, everything is just so funny. And then, like, if you're a goofy person, but... So we was telling the joke how our parents used to be driving, and if we in the back, like, you know, get into something or just get in trouble, they'll do like a 360 and hit us, and then they'll still be driving perfect. And then we were just talking about that, and we just talked about it's so funny because how did our mamas do that, and they still driving perfect down the street after, and then we just... And we in the back seat. We had the saddest faces in the back. And then they gonna ask us something funny, like, you know what? Y'all wanna go to McDonald's? Like, no, I'm not hungry no more. You just hit me, you know? Stuff like that. And We was laughing about that in the back seat for like the longest time. Like we was laughing about that for the longest time. Mind you, it was 3 in the morning and we just lost the game. Like we just lost the game. And so coach got up and he was like, "I don't think nothing funny about us losing the game." You know, stuff like that. So I guess he thought like we was like laughing about the game, but we wasn't. So he sat down and Deshaun gave me this funny looking look. And I just started laughing. I couldn't hold it in. I just started laughing so loud. And then Coach, he knew it was me that was laughing. So he was like, "All right." And then I'm like, "Deshaun, you gonna get me in trouble, bro." And then, you know, things like that. So it was fun. And then I was thinking about a time that I tried to rap. And he was like, "No," because I was telling him he whispered too much when he rapping. And then he kind of pulled me to the side. He was like, "Bro, you can't be saying that like in front of everybody." He usually say, "Stop what you're doing, bro." I'm like, "What?" He like, "Don't be telling me to speak up when I'm rapping. That's how I rap." And then I was like, "All right." So he go to say, "You're like, you know what, you rap." And then I try to rap. He was like, "You know what? I see why you just play football." And then he was clowning me for that. He was clowning me for that. So I thought that was real funny when he said that. And I was like, "You know what, bro? I'm about to learn how to rap now." Because I felt played. But it was funny though, because I was like, "You know what? That is true. That's why I only play football." And I could just go on and on and on, but you can talk about
Yeah,
something
for
else.
me, my favorite memory of D is probably when I first got here, like my first and my second year. The whole football team stayed in Copley Apartments. So when times we didn't have no class and no work, no practice, nothing like that, we'll all be outside in a complex, and friend Trail would have his trunk open, and he got speakers in his trunk, and we'll play beats and we'll just freestyle, and it seemed like for hours. But like we'll freestyle from like 5 o'clock in the afternoon to about 11, 12 o'clock at night, just having fun with each other, just everyone being out there, and we just like connecting through music, you know, 'cause that's what he loves to do. And every day, like right before like we get in the shower or something like that, his locker was right there close to it. So he'll call my name, and he'll just throw like a random word, and I'll do one for him, and we'll just freestyle for like 10, 20 minutes, just bypassing time before, you know, getting our day started after practice and stuff like that. So yeah, that's my favorite memories with Deshaun. And so with Devin transferred in, I think, last spring. We've been knowing Devin for about what, 6 to 8 months around that. And when Devin first came in, man, it was just like he just clicked with everybody. He just lit up the room, you know. Always had a joke to say, always dancing, always trying to freestyle as well. So, yeah, my favorite memories was with Dev was actually how Dev and Lavelle used to go at it all the time, man. It was like they was like little brother, big brother, like Tom and Jerry, just like always arguing with each other. And Dev is from Memphis, where he spent a lot of time in Memphis. And if you ever been to Memphis, I know a lot of people that's from Memphis, they like to like, I don't know how we call it. What would you call it? What you mean? Like, what would you call like jokes and all that? But
Oh,
that,
clown.
yeah, okay, well, yeah, like they'll like clown each other, all the time in Memphis and stuff like that. So he'll just always like go in on Lavelle, and Lavelle was trying to come back. Like he'll go and try to like tease Lavelle about his height and call him like Daddy Long Legs or something like that. Just always joking with each other and arguing with each other. But we all knew, you know, it was so much love between them two. And Vel and Dev was actually both receivers, so we was all like in the same group or whatever. So just like spending a lot of time together, so it made a lot of like memories with a lot of different debates, and especially between them two. So yeah, you wanna.
Me and Devin was real cool. He did come in the spring semester of last year. And I remember my first time seeing him. He was like, he's real skinny. So I was like, okay, this one out of mid-year is coming in. And I was like, what high school you just came from? And then he looked at me, he said, Wisconsin. I'm like, all right, what high school in Wisconsin? He like, no, I just came from Wisconsin. I'm like, bro, you skinny, bro. What you mean? He like, bro, I'm way faster than you. And then when he said that, I knew not to race him because you're not gonna say like nobody gonna say or be as confident about their speed unless they real fast. So I knew right there like he was serious about it, and I was like, all right, he came from Wisconsin, but I didn't know for sure. But and he was a cool dude. Yeah, he always made you laugh, and I like to clown people too. So he was clowning me one time, and then I just kept going in on him, and then he was like, all right, bro, you got it. And stuff like that. And then I just remember in the summertime and just being at the pool, and we'll be hanging out at the pool, and everybody just like him, like he make everybody want to be around him and stuff like that. He can make everybody laugh, and it just seemed like if you didn't like Dev, it was just maybe you're just a hater because everybody like him and stuff like that. So
Yeah, Dev was just a person like like it was just hard not to like no matter what's going on, like no matter like how life is looking, like during the time or if you're like in a bad mood, having a bad day or whatever, like Dev was the type of person that like he always seen like the light in the dark times. Like he always was willing to crack a joke, always willing to just like bust out in the dance moves, and you like just his energy was just like you had no other choice but to match his energy, when he was around. So
and then one time, so I had probably four papers due. And then one of our classes, we had a presentation and we were supposed to work on it. And then he was gonna go visit his brother. And we were supposed to meet that Saturday. And I don't know if we had a game or I was doing something out of town. I can't remember. And he was like, all right, so he did like all of the slides, but one of them. I came up with the thesis, and then he just did the rest of the slides. And I was like, bro, how you do this? And because he did it like in 20, 30 minutes. And I was like, bro, there's no way you did all this in 20, 30 minutes. And then we had to present in 30 minutes, and we was just practicing on it. And then just to see how fast, like, he knew all of it without even looking at it. So we went up there to present, and he carried me, like literally, like he went up there and he knew every, I just knew the thesis because I remember me like writing, and it was like probably the thesis is not long, but just to like explain, it was probably like 250 words just to keep going and then explaining about it, over and over. That's what our professors like. And I didn't even remember my thesis, and I wrote that. And then he remembered. I talked about it, and he just went on and on. It kind of looked like he was teaching a class. So that looked real good when he did that. And then the professor was like, "How much work did Johnson do?" And then because I'm last name Johnson, and she just called people by their last names. And Dev was like, "Well, we both did half and half. I did the research. He did the PowerPoint, and we went half on it." I was like, "Well, you didn't have to do that. Like, you literally carried me." And then, she didn't mind and stuff like that. But it's just things like that. And then we had all our classes together except for one. And so it's like a lot of the classes that we are in now, like they were small. It was maybe like 15 or 20 people then. So those classes are canceled now because they like the people. Nah, it was definitely about 15 and under. So these classes are canceled now because it's like he brought so much energy, and he has so much like he has so much to the class that he brought. Like he brought so much to the class that it just was like, how can we proceed without one of the key parts of our classes? Like, like just the energy that he brought, the things he had to say every day, and things like that. So it was sad. So, like when when we talk on GroupMe, the class actually decided not to proceed without him because they just didn't want to, because it's like he was so important to the class. And I remember one time the professor was, it's a music class. The professor was like, if somebody can freestyle for me right now, everybody get 50 points towards we had to, it was like something we had to get 50 points for. It was in the next grade, it was just worth 50 points. And then I was like, I forgot Dev could rap, and he was in the bathroom. And then she was looking around like, okay, nobody's gonna freestyle. I'm like, hold on, wait till Dev get back. And then so the guys, I don't know what the what it's called, but it was like kind of like a drum, but you use your hands with. And the guys that had presented that day had a little drum, the hand drums, and they started to make a beat with that. And he walked back in. I'm like, bro, it's your time. He was like, nah, bro. I'm like, bro, it's your time, bro. He like, nah. And then I looked at him like, come on. He then he just started freestyling, and then he just kept freestyling, and he was just saying stuff like within the class would understand, and everybody was like, they was just so surprised, like they never heard rap before. And it was crazy, because he was just tying everything in to the lesson we was going through that day. And then it was just cool because just everybody can see how talented he was. So I just thought that was like real cool. And just to wrap everything up, we really miss these guys, and it won't be easy to proceed forward and things like that without these guys. But their legacy still lives on, and we love them. We appreciate every moment and memories we had with them, and hopefully they can keep looking over us and looking over their families and keep everybody safe.
Thank you.
Just let her do it. That was all right.
Yeah, that was really good.